begin the application of faith, confession, before you have it, believe you receive when you pray.
Yes.
Hebrews 4:11 Hebrews, in my opinion, other than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the most important book in the Bible. 4:11 Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we're going to see something here. The word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature not manifest in his sight. His word is his sight. And we're blessed to have him on the inside. And if you don't, ask him to come in your heart and we'll go on with the message. It's that simple and that easy. Because he did all the hard part. It's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Look here in this third. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider. Say consider. I had to consider Jesus rather than to consider the pain in my leg. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. I had to consider that. I consider him. Glory to God. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Glory to God. And I'll never have pain in the name of Jesus. Pain doesn't belong to me. Healing belongs to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said praise God. So that consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in his house. That word profession is also translated confession. What is a confession of faith? Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you before my Father. If you're ashamed of me before men, I won't even go there. You confess me. Confess your sins. It's not all a sin confession. There are different confessions in the Bible.
Yes.
I made a confession and made him Lord of my life.
Yes.
With the mouth, I said it.
Amen.
We have a confession. My daughter, Terry, calls George Captain Confession. Well, just write up confession cards and just put them all over the place. That's what I do in there in my bathroom. We were down in South Florida during the Jesus Revolution I was telling you about. Jerry was there. And what's that dentist's name? You remember his name, he and his wife? Anyway.
Albert?
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah. And so he had us in his home. And we'd finished. And she came, Doug Fowler. She came around there and they had a swimming pool out back, and John had just barely learned how to swim, so you know how young they were. So she said, now, Brother Copeland, I hope that what you're preaching is real, because I've been so busy with these meetings and I was hoping to have some food for you guys. And I looked there and she had little stickets all over her cabinet, We need this and we need that on the refrigerator and everywhere. She just had these little sticky notes every place. Her confessions were on those sticky notes. And she said, we spent night and day in the meetings. There was a knock on the door. She opened it. And here was this woman with this huge tray of steaks. She said, the Lord just impressed me that you might need these. She said, bring them on in, please. Praise God. But this, again, limited a certain day in David to say, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you'll hear his voice. 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 Today, 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 you have to practice his presence. And listen to him. Listen to what he has to say. And when the day time and comes, he just decides just chew you out real good. Be very, very quiet and listen. I got up real early one morning, and I really was headed out to the back to pray, and it hit me right in here. My word has no place in you. I tell you, it felt like somebody hit me below the belt. I said, Lord. And I just fell back over in the bed. It brought me to tears. And I began to pray about it, He said, you've done it again. He said, you're not spending any time in it. He said, it doesn't have its real place there. He said, you've gone back to memorizing your scriptures again. I was running Sweetport, and I had some kind of a clot in my leg. I went in early on Sunday evening and scheduled to be there in Jack's church, I think another 3 weeks like we had before. And I felt it running here kind of tight. And next morning I woke up and it was a little more painful. Christ's stripes, I'm healed. Glory to God. And it really got bad. And there was one time I walked up on the platform, that thing hit me, and I screamed before I could stop it. But then I'd get out there and preach, and it'd go away. So I fell across the bed. I said, Lord, what is it? You can't miss it. I've missed it somehow. He said, the memory of a potato never nourished anyone. He said, you have to put it in the system. You've done it again. You're just quoting scriptures instead of going to the book. I said, I repent. Well, I finished up that night. We were going in on the airlines. Our plane was in the shop or something, whatever it was. But anyway, we were on the airline. Got on there, and I heard the devil say, it's about a mile. This is at Love Field in Dallas. To the baggage area. And you're fool enough to walk it, and I'm going to kill you. He said, that's a blood clot, and it's going to hit your heart, and I'm going to kill you. I said, no, you don't kill anybody. I went down this. There was a man there with a wheelchair and said, you need this. Oh, that looked good. I have no idea except the devil just arranged it. I said, no, thank you, sir. Healed people don't need wheelchairs. Oh, and it was about a mile to walk this thing on feeder airline. And I got there, And, well, to go home, we had to go by my dad's house to get to where we live. So, of course, he came and picked us up. I said, "Dad, let's just stop at your house. This is bad. I'm really in pain." So I went in there, and I got in the bed, and I'd lay down like that, and the pain was still there, but I just said, "In the name of Jesus, I'm going to sleep by faith. I'm sound asleep right now." Well, I did. I went to sleep. And my mother came in there, and she just sat down there at the end of the bed and just started praying in the spirit. Her favorite term was, "Hit it in tongues, honey, hit it in tongues." That was her thing, hit it in tongues. Now, that's what I did in Stroud, Oklahoma, and went to the backside of my trousers. Oh, Lord, I'm glad those days are over. You do a lot of backing up. Anyway. 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke straight up, just sat straight up in the bed. Mother said, "That did it. Good night." And it was gone. It was over. I would have ruined that whole thing had I sat down in that wheelchair. Yes. That was the key. You remember, used to be blind Bartimaeus? When you read that, you remember what he cried? "Son of David!" He was calling him Messiah. "Son of David! Have mercy on me, Son of David." They said, "Oh, shut up, old blind man." He just shouted the louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have hesed on me. Do hesed for me." And Jesus sent for him. And they said, "Oh, he's calling you." Yeah, right. He cast away his garment. That garment proved from the priest that he was actually blind. And Jesus, seeing his faith, he said, now he had to have him say it. He said, "What shall I do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He could have come up there and said, "Lord, I have the worst back pain you can imagine, and I can put up with not seeing. I mean, I've been that way since I was born. Get this back pain off me." He said, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed him. That's the key. He knew who he was, and he would not give down. He would not turn loose of it. So believe you receive it when you pray. Act as though it's already done. You don't wait until you see it. So here again, let's go back over here to Mark 11. And... Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Praise God. Now, he came over to the Gadarenes, and you know the story. Here's a man with an unclean spirit. Always night and day in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, now this is the devil speaking, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, by God, thou torment me not." For he had said, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him that he would not send him away out of this country. There was nigh to the mountains and so forth, new song. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his own, in his right mind, and they were afraid. Where did he get the clothes? Faith prepares beforehand. So it's obvious that Jesus had a staff meeting. And he said, there's a man over there. I'm going to deliver him, and I'm going to call him to preach. Now, he's in terrible condition. He doesn't have any clothes. So, now, Judas, I want you to go buy some nice clothes for him. I don't want to send him home naked. He's a mess. So go get some clothes. I'm going to call him to preach. I want to get him some nice looking suits. I don't call men to preach naked. So I'm going to take it over there with me. And you guys will learn a lesson here. So he clothed him and called him to preach. He wanted to stay with him. He said, no. You go tell what compassion God has had on you. So he did. And he preached throughout the Decapolis, the 10 cities in the area. And the next time Jesus was there in that same spot, they covered him up listening to this man preach. We get to heaven, we get to meet these people. Now the woman with the issue of blood comes right in here. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, spent all that she had. Now, Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, met him coming across the Galilee right there at Capernaum. This was home. And he just fell at his feet right there at the edge of the water. My daughter's at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her, I pray, then she'll live. That's the last thing he said. Then Jesus went with him. People followed him, thronged him. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, suffered many things, many physicians, spent all that she had, nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, what had she heard? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. She heard it. People are coming back to her, and they're telling her about these miracles and this man that is anointed. And we believe he's the Christ. He's doing these marvelous things, and he's so lovely. And he's just a thrill just to be around. So she's a shut-in. Go to the book of Leviticus and see, far past her normal time, 12 years. She could have been stoned for going out into public. And there's Jairus, leader of the synagogue. She knows it. She crawled out there. She's bleeding. She crawled out there. But she said something. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She felt it. After she believed it. She felt it after she had believed it. That's corresponding action to what she believed. It's obvious she forgave the physicians because faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. Jesus, immediately knowing in him that power had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now that word virtue actually comes from the Greek word dynamon or dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. The healing power. He immediately, knowing in himself that that power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, and all this woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of that plague. While he yet spake, they came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain, which said, your daughter's dead now. Why troublest thou the master any further? Soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, only believe. In the book of Luke, he said, fear not. Now notice how he dealt with death. Fear not. Believe only. She shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only, and you'll be made whole. Fear is not acceptable. I heard this one time. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated.
And the Holy Spirit said to me, look down at your hand. And I looked down at my hand and I'm like, well, that's all I can see is my nice engagement ring and my wedding ring. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to sow that ring as a seed. Oh my gosh. I was like this.
Well, you said, you turned to me and said, Holy Spirit wants to sow the ring. I just said, go for it.
That was the first time we ever sowed into KCM.
Hi, my name's Robbie. This is my wife, Donna, and from the Warehouse Church in Wales, UK. We've been partnering with KCM for a long time.
Well, we got to know about the ministry 20 years ago, yeah. Believe it or not. I would say it was 19 years ago that we really had our first encounter, yeah, with a KCM meeting. It was pretty incredible, actually. And that meeting changed our life forever.
That was in California.
It was.
We went on holiday. Just behind the hotel was the Anaheim Conference Center.
Uh-huh. So what we decided to do, even though we were on holiday, we decided to go to the conference.
Yeah, we did.
But that particular meeting that changed everything.
Oh, yeah.
Was the one where
I can't remember who was speaking.
I know, it's really bad, but we can't remember who was speaking.
But it was powerful, we know that.
It doesn't matter, because the message was, give your best seed. And at the time, I mean, it was years ago, and we always, not always struggled, but we didn't have much money.
we went on holiday by faith.
We did.
Went to California by faith. We just had, yeah, enough to get by, enough to eat, enough to have tickets for Disney, and that was it.
The Holy Spirit said, look down at your hand and sew that ring. If we hadn't have been obedient to sew that diamond ring, which cost to us back then, that was everything. Biggest seed we ever sown. We sowed that, and now all these years later, we are reaping. We're still reaping.
Come on.
Like you say, it's the increase by association and the blessing that comes with it. I couldn't have imagined when the Holy Spirit said to sow that seed, what that seed would actually have produced all these years later.
We wanted the church to experience that, you know, the blessings of God as we are associated to this ministry and the word that's coming through. And I think that was one of the key things for us in partnering as a church, because of the blessings that we personally were seeing through that relationship and through that association. And the church has been blessed because of it, you know, over the number of years that we've been partnering.
The word of God says you can be tossed to and fro by every wind, yeah, of doctrine. But you know, partnership, especially with KCM, is solid, is a solid foundation.
When you have a relationship, you know that other person is not going to let you down.
Yeah.
There's a trust.
Yeah.
And I know when we send a prayer request off as a church, we're believing for some big things this year, and we really want the prayer support of that. And so I'm sending it off to KCM, and we have had in the past, you know, the testimonies, and, yeah, I believe then we'll be sending a testimony off to say, thank you for your prayers, this is what's taken place. You sow into a ministry because you really feel the Holy Spirit tells, mm-hmm, you, and The Holy Spirit told us to sow that diamond ring over 20 years ago. We didn't even know what the results were going to be, the benefits of it. And, you know, normally when you, in the world, when you sign up to something, they'll tell you what the benefits are, what you're going to get back for what you put in. And we didn't have a clue. But the benefits that we have received because of the seed that we sowed at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, man, why stop? We ain't going to stop.
We are a living testimony that it works. Amen. You just got to be obedient. So be obedient. Amen. And connect and partner.
Amen.
In 2023, join Kenneth Copeland at these free KCM events to build your faith and live in victory. September 6th through 9th, join us at the Colombia Believers Convention in Bogota, Colombia. October 26th through 28th, make plans to be at the St. Louis Victory Campaign in Sunset Hills, Missouri. November 9th through 11th, don't miss the Omaha Victory Campaign in Omaha, Nebraska. Go to kcm.org/events for more information.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Prayer that brings results must be based on the Word of God. We pray according to God's will and His Word. James 5:16 tells us, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. In the teaching series, 7 Steps to Prayer That Brings Results, Brother Copeland outlines the Bible's formula for successful prayers. The Word of God contains promises, truths, and answers for everything in life. Start with the Word, pray the Word, do things God's way, and you'll see His results. Listen to this as a family and teach your children how to pray, and then pray as a family. This teaching is the Copeland's gift to you, so request your free series today on kcm.org. Now, if you need prayer, call KCM's prayer line. You may have an important decision to make or need prayer support for a challenge that you're facing. Let our prayer ministers come into agreement with you on God's Word, and when you call, they will pray the scriptures in faith with you. So write those scriptures down and keep them with you. Continue to confess and declare your victory. We have prayer ministers in all of our KCM offices around the world, and they're licensed and trained in the Word of God. To contact the office nearest you, go to kcm.org for all the information. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Brother Larry reminding you that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.